Wow. Thank you, worship team. Man, what a beautiful time in the spirit. That was amazing. I don't even want to stop. You guys could just keep going all night and I'd be happy. That was awesome. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight? So for those of you that don't know us, my name is John Erler. It's my wife, Terry. We're elders here at Harvest Church, and Pastor Rob is away with the team tonight with the staff. They're at a conference, and they'll be back Sunday to do service again. But he's asked Terry and I to bring a word of encouragement to you guys tonight. So we're going to go ahead and do that. So we just thank you for being here at Harvest Church with us tonight to start off the new year, the first Wednesday in 2020, right? All right, so we're just going to start with an opening prayer, and then we'll get started here. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this night, Lord God. And we just ask that you keep our pastor safe as they're traveling tonight at the conference, Lord God, and bring them back here to us on Sunday so they can bring the word again, Lord God. And we just, Lord, lift you up tonight, Lord God. And we just ask that you anoint Terry and I, Lord God, to bring the word that you have for the congregation tonight, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, that you're preparing their hearts right now to hear what we have to say, Lord God, and to hear what you have to say, Lord. We just praise you and we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so as you can see, we have a little PowerPoint presentation here that we prepared for you guys, for those of you that like to take notes. So you can take notes. And Terry and I are going to kind of tag team this thing, so we'll be switching on and off as we go, right? So 2020 vision. Wouldn't it be great if we all had 2020 vision? I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but as I get older, my eyes are starting to fade, right? So I'm having a little trouble seeing when I drive. So I have to wear glasses when I drive and everything. My vision's getting a little blurry, a little out of focus. Well, sometimes that can happen in life too, right? Our vision for our life gets out of focus. We don't always have 2020 vision for our life. So what is your focus for this new year? Did you make a New Year's resolution about weight loss, finances, health, personal growth, or some other goal that you might have for this year? If you have, or if you did, have you thought about how effective those New Year's resolutions are if you do them in your own strength? Well, there's an article in Forbes, and there's a statistic on how many people actually follow through with their accomplishments for the new year. And you know, it's rather grim, the statistics, if you look at them there. So 25% stay committed after just 30 days, 25%. And then only 8% actually accomplish their New Year's resolution. So 92% of the people fail and never make it through their New Year's resolution. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of that statistic. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So he has good plans for you, but you have to stay focused on him and hear his voice so that he will know what that plan is, right? So wouldn't it make sense to use the power of God that's within you rather than your own understanding to guide your focus this year for 2020 and for years to come? What about hearing a God to get vision for your life? What about a clear, focused vision that can come in alignment with God's plan for your life in 2020? Well, tonight, we're going to encourage you to let God's voice guide your focus for 2020.
To start our journey on getting a clear focus for 2020, we need to look at the definition of insanity. Albert Einstein is widely credited with saying, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results." We only see in part while on earth, but as a child of God, you are connected to the one who sees everything clearly all the time. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known." I like things to be simple. I don't know about you, but we're going to read the same verse, and we're going to read it from the Message. "We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist." I don't know if you guys ever felt like that. "But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. Here on earth, everything doesn't make sense. But someday in heaven, we will see clearly. We'll see how all the pieces fit together. We have to rely on the voice of God guiding us while we're here on earth on our journey. God has given everyone tools to help us all be fruitful on this journey here on earth. We need to hear from God, who sees and knows everything for our own personal lives. And I want to make it very clear tonight that everyone has the ability to hear God. It's not a skill for a few special people. When Jesus died on that cross and he ascended to heaven, it came to us through the Holy Spirit. It is an innate and hardwired into our system. Your hardwired system was dead and broken as an unbeliever. But as a believer, your system became alive and is working now. If your computer had no power source, it would be dead. But once you plug it in, it becomes alive and working so you can use it. We got plugged into our power source when we became a child of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." That is for everyone, to those who believe in his name. It's our choice whether we want to be plugged into him. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know him, and they follow me." If you're a child of God, you are his, and you can hear his voice. Just like Brett Elder heard God's voice tonight. He didn't know I was using this verse. And he said many other things during worship that you're going to hear in this. I had to ask my husband, "Did you tell Brett what we were talking about?" And he said, "No." You now have a communication system with your Heavenly Father that is up and running. But this ability to communicate has to be learned like a baby learning to speak. We are like new sheep, learning to recognize God's voice. Our part of hearing is to learn, discern, and recognize the voice of God. I'll say it again. Our part is to learn, discern, and recognize the voice of God. God speaks to you and me perfectly. He doesn't have any trouble. He speaks to us in the best possible way for each of us to hear him on our own. God speaks through Scripture, and we'll establish that right now. The Bible is the clear word of God without any mistakes. Everything we hear should line up with the Bible and the nature of God, because we're not going to pick out one Scripture. We're going to make sure that it goes along with the nature and character of God. But let's ponder for a moment about three possible ways our Bible can be read to us. The first way that our Bible can be read is God can read it to you. It speaks to you, and the written word comes alive. It brings fruit into your life. It brings peace and joy and happiness. The second way that our Bible can be read to you is through your own imperfections with a mind that is too small. See, the fullness of God is like our minds understanding what an elephant looks like through a microscope. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." The third way our Bible can be read to us is the devil can read the Bible to you. The devil quoted scriptures to Jesus when in the desert being tempted. Luke 4:9 through 11 says, "Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Of course, Jesus responded back with scriptures in the next verse. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" So if the devil can come and tempt Jesus, I think that we're vulnerable too. Our Bible is full from cover to cover of God talking to people. The word of God came to Abraham before the Bible was written. God's voice led to the document of our Bible being written that most of you have in your hands today. God's voice is what spoke the whole world into existence. His words are not just written words. They are alive and active. The Bible even says so in Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart." The words I'm speaking to you today is just language and information, but God's words have the ability to be life-giving power to become reality in my life and in your life. When God said the word planets, out came planets. It wasn't saying a word, it was an action. I heard a testimony of a lady who went to a counselor, and this lady, she was in a very bad state. She was about to end her life. The counselor tried to change her mind everywhere he could. He only had 5 minutes left with her before the service was going to end. He was trying to decide if he needed to call for protection for her. He finally decided, let's pray and let's just see what God has to say. So they prayed. They got quiet so she could listen. After a few minutes, a smile started to come on her face. Then she started to laugh. The counselor, didn't know what was happening. So he asked her. He said, what's going on? She said, I'm going to be okay. And then he asked her, well, how do you know? She said, because she heard God say peace to her. And at that moment, she felt the peace of God covering her. She said, and so that counselor, he said that he learned to go to God in the first 5 minutes instead of the last 5 minutes. Yeah. So why not make time to talk and listen to God now at the beginning of 2020 instead of waiting till the end of the year? Why not get a clear focus for the year ahead? John 14:25-26 says, and this verse is actually where Jesus is talking to his disciples before his crucifixion. He said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Another verse that is in our Bible in John 16:12-13 is Jesus talking with his disciples again. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." If you spend time with God in his word and pray, the Holy Spirit will help teach and guide your personal lives.
All right, so next we're going to take a look at our senses and how God actually speaks to us. So God created each of us a little bit differently, right? Each of us can hear from God in unique ways. Some of us hear God through auditory senses. He speaks to us through words or phrases. Like I know Pastor Rob, he tells me all the time that he gets words, you know, like audible words. Like he told me before we went to Uganda, he got a word that said, "John, go to Uganda," and he gave me that word, and I went to Uganda with him. At first, I didn't want to go, but it was definitely the word over my life. When I went to Uganda, I was blessed, and it was amazing. It changed my life, right? So, and he gets words like that all the time for people, so it's a pretty amazing way to hear God. I wish I heard that way, but I'm more of a visual learner, so I hear more in pictures and those kind of things. So I'm an anatomy guy. Like I'm in medical imaging, so a lot of times I'll see pictures of anatomy. It's kind of weird, but like I'll get a picture of a heart or kidneys or something, and then I'll pray that out, and somebody will get healed of a heart disease or kidney problems. I've seen it several times. Crazy stuff. God's an amazing God, right? And then some of us are kinesthetic learners, and so we get impressions or feelings or impressions, and that's kind of the way we hear God. Pastor Steve Mayanja, the missionary from Africa, when he was here, was telling us that that's the way he hears from God. So one time he was there in Uganda, and they were looking for water, and he kind of felt an unction to go look over here. And he went and looked over there, and a spring of water was bubbling up, and that's where the water was. And so he just got, you know, kind of an unction to go over there. And that's how he heard from God, and he found the water. You know, it's amazing what God can do through us. We just have to know what, how we hear and how we learn, and just listen for his voice, you know, to come into our life. So John 15:15 says, I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you my friends. It's so great connecting with the Lord on this level, because it becomes a personal word to you from God. This is a relationship the Lord wants to have with you. When you're born again, you got plugged into the source of life. Are you taking time during that source into your life? The problem is that most of us get busy and distracted with life, you know, with kids or jobs or whatever. So we don't take time to hear the voice of God, right? So we can call, my slide's a little bit behind here, but there we go. There's our distraction, right? So everything in life, you got all these things around you, right? So we can fall temptation of keeping our life full of things that numb our minds or stimulate our minds and keep us busy and distracted from spending time with God. So Psalms 37:3-5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and you shall have the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass. So this verse reminds us that we should ruthlessly eliminate the hurry and distraction from our life so we can hear God. We need to be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently on him and to act. And Elder Brett was saying that earlier, that we need to be still in his presence, right? So he was like basically preaching our sermon right up here. So you may need to make an appointment with God, but when you make that appointment, the important thing is to keep it, right? So it's one thing to make the appointment, but it's another thing to keep it and to keep those distractions out. So what are some distractions that keep you from making an appointment with God? Well, one is being faithful to things that don't matter in your life, that kind of steal your time, that are really worthless. Like, I know one thing for me was football, because I would, you know, watch football on Saturday, sometimes Sunday, you know, maybe Thursday. Maybe Monday night football is there too, right? So I found every excuse I could to watch another game, but, you know, I found that I could cut that time out, and, you know, I would make excuses. Well, you know, I'm watching football today. I don't want to spend time with God, but I found I could just watch a few games that were important to me and not every single game that was on, right? So, but, you know, that can be other things for other people. It could be like Netflix, or, you know, like doing a Netflix binge, watching like 22 episodes of The Office, or, you know, being on Facebook for hours and hours, just things that are just stealing time from your life. You know, sure, you're busy, but can you cut a few things out, that distract you from God? Another thing is being faithful to bad habits like smoking or drinking. Those kind of things can obviously steal your time with God. Another thing is speaking negative words like I can't or I won't. You know, I can't spend time for God. I won't hear him, right? But, you know, those are just excuses. And speaking of that, making excuses for not showing up with God for what God has called you to do. You know, excuses like, I'm not going to church today, it's too cold, or I'm tired, you know, I had a hard week. Those things will just, you know, steal the life from you. So you have a choice to allow God to help you show up and do the things that will produce life and fruit in your life and the life of others. It may be hard on your emotions at first to set aside time with God. You know, you may look like some of those guys, right? Oh, God, I'm trying. You may not feel like it, but remember, your emotions should not dictate what you do. Just like with exercising, you know, you may not feel like doing it first, but afterwards you, enjoy the benefits. Like when I go out to run or to work out or something, I definitely don't feel like doing it. But after I do it, I feel good and, you know, I enjoy the benefits of losing weight and feeling better, right? So our emotions are not always a bad thing. God created us with emotions, and they are a great indicator of what's going on inside of us. So do you have peace, or do you have a don't want to attitude? On this journey with God, let him help you take responsibility for your own joy and passion in your life. Where'd you go?
We've learned a lot about getting with God and getting a clear focus for 2020. Our hearts are excited about knowing God's plans. Our hearts are convinced that God does speak to us. We see that making time for God is very important and not allowing those distractions to get in our way. We're excited to look at all the different ways that God can speak to us. But you may be thinking, well, how will I know the difference between my thoughts and desires, the enemy's voice, and God's voice? Those are very good and important questions, and we're going to talk about those next. We hear a variety of voices in our heads, as you see the picture up there. Our own voice, our teachers, our parents, our friends. Ever since we've been growing up, we've been having voices speak to us. They've all been shaping our lives for better or for worse. We must ask ourselves some questions to evaluate our thoughts to help us learn to discern God's voice. The first thing is, does what I hear agree with Scripture? That is one of the most important questions to ask. God's voice will never contradict what He says in His Word. Our second question that we can ask is, do I feel condemnation or conviction? See, condemnation is focused on me, who I am, and hiding from God and hiding from others. When we receive condemnation from the enemy, he wants us to stew on that. He wants us to think about what we did wrong, and he wants to let it build up inside of us. He's hoping we will take on the emotions of guilt, regret, blame, and shame. That's his goal. That's what he wants us to carry. He wants these emotions to plant a seed inside of us, telling us that we are no good, that if we do it again, nobody's going to forgive us again for our mistakes. He wants us to carry that with us because when he does that, it brings us down and it does not bring hope and fruit. Conviction, on the other hand, it brings insight, revelation, and produces... and produces peace and joy in your life. When the Holy Spirit corrects or convicts us, it can be described as a get-in, get-out theory. He's going to correct and discipline us and show us what we did wrong. He's going to get in and get out. He's not going to badger us or nag us about the same thing. He's going to show us a mistake, lay it upon our heart to repent, and ask us to forgiveness, and then he's going to expect us to move on. He's not expecting us to stay there. His goal is to bring life to us. He'll keep convicting us until we do something about it, though. The third question we can ask is, does it produce fruit of the Spirit in you and others around you? And the second part's good because I can say I have peace and joy, but everywhere I go, do I cause other things in other people? So evaluate yourself and how you're affecting the people around you. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These are what we want to be developed in our lives. Now, the opposite of that is hate, sadness, confusion, impatience, meanness, evil, disloyalty, roughness, and disobedience. So this is a good guide to use as you're going around, because I know I've had to make many decisions in my life of things that I may like to do, but I'm like, ooh, that's causing a lot of stress in my life, or that's causing me to be really impatient. So when you encounter that things that you don't want, those are your opportunities to not feel condemnation, but let God convict you and show you how to turn it in so that it will switch to the fruit of the Spirit. Because we talked earlier that our emotions are actually a help. When we feel these emotions, it lets us know how we can adjust our life. The fourth question is, does it set you free? Does it set you free? John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The fifth question is, do godly counselors confirm it? Do I invite godly mentors into my life? Because if I go to God and say, God, do you want me to have a horse? Of course you do. Yeah, I'll get that answer right away. But my husband's like, no, 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 no. So if I pursued with something in my life that I thought was God because it's my desires and my flesh, I might go back to that fruit of the Spirit and see that I'm causing a lot of stress for my husband and for the people around me, and that, well, maybe I need to go back to God and see what his plan is. Proverbs 24:6 says, by wise counsel, you can wage war. In abundance of counselors, there is victory and safety. And I like the abundance of counselors because only God can hear perfectly for us. When we go to people, we're able to bounce what God said to us, but not everyone's going to completely understand us. So having a multitude of counselors will be able to bounce your ideas off of what you think you're hearing and be able to get more things to pray about to help zone in on what God is wanting for you. The sixth question is, do I have peace, like a settled confidence that the message is from God, even if it's a hard message? Because sometimes we will get messages from God that our flesh may not like, but deep down inside, we know it's the right thing to do. So don't forget to set an appointment to talk with God. He wants to have a conversational relationship with you. He will move upon your heart and mind to speak to you. We often want to talk about the do's and shoulds of our lives during our prayer time, which is okay. But God loves to talk about who we are and whose we are. He likes to tell us things about us, and he likes to encourage us. When you don't feel as if you're hearing him, try asking different questions. It really helps, because when I talk to God and I ask him something and I don't get an answer right away, I just kind of ask him different things because maybe my flesh doesn't want to hear the real answer. So just try to change your questions up. Ask him what he wants to talk about. Often we're not able to hear God's voice because our soul's piping is clogged up with repressed emotions. When you try not to feel distress, pain, or neediness, you're numbing all the feelings you have inside of you, all of your soul's receptivity. God speaks his thoughts and feelings into our thoughts and feelings. The two are connected. So to hear his voice, we need to open our channel of communication. Not feeling forgiven or not forgiving others can cause interference in our communication with God. Habitual sin can also cause interference with our communication with God. When we focus our energy on not feeling worthy, feeling hurt by others, or doing things our own way instead of God's way, our focus and attention gets pulled away from God being the loudest voice in our life. And that was mentioned during worship today too. If you feel your communication pipes are a little clogged, don't worry. It's okay. God always has a plan. Ask God to show you how to unclog those pipes. God can break through our heart defenses and bring restoration. Remember, it's okay if you don't think you hear him. There's no condemnation in speaking to God. Remember earlier how I talked about we take little baby steps to learn. Just take time and ask God again. And remember, Pastor Rob talked about wait, wait, wait. Sometimes it takes a long time, you know? Sometimes the answers don't come right away. When I'm in my prayer closet, oh, trust me, I had questions like after questions for God. For me, I write my questions down because then I know, like, okay, once I've written it down, I've asked God. And then I just have to wait. But you know what? I did this for a whole season because I had a whole lot of questions for God. And then I went back like 6 months or a year later and looked at my journal, and I could put a check mark on almost every question I asked God. When I was in a huge transition, always goes back to the horses. I'm like, God, should I keep them? Should I not keep them? Should I keep my llama? Should I not keep it? All these questions I had. You know, God probably wanted to tell me lots of other things, but I wasn't ready to listen then. But step by step, he directed my path and brought me to a place where John and I are today, where we can say there is life in both of our lives in unity. So remember, he's better at speaking than we are at hearing. It takes practice to tune into him. Sometimes we're hearing from God and don't even realize it. And that happens a lot. A lot of people say they can't hear from God, but they just don't even recognize that all those impressions, all those thoughts they're getting, all those things that are coming to them is God breaking through to them and directing their paths. For some, this might be a lot of information for you tonight. Don't worry. If you have any questions, we have lots of godly mentors at our church. The pastors and staff are helping, very willing to help anyone through this process of hearing God, because it takes time and practice, and it is so good to be able to, especially if you're going to make a major life decision, you want to be able to bounce this off people that can help you go to the Word and discern what this means for you. Some of you may be thinking like me, why can't God just write me a letter, tell me everything he's thinking about me, and tell me all the plans he has for my life? Wouldn't you guys like that? Just get one letter. It just tells you. Well, remember, we have like our own will and our flesh. See, if God would have tried to tell me everything I'm doing now 20 years ago, I would have been like, no way. I'm not doing that. My husband will never stand on a stage and teach, or, you know, we would have never went to Uganda and done all these things that we did. So sometimes, even though we just want all the information at once, God knows the perfect way to give us piece by piece what we need for each day. I also needed much renewing and healing in my mind because, and in our soul. See, our souls, our mind, will, and emotions. Because remember how I talked about his thoughts connect to our thoughts? If God wants to tell me he loves me, but I don't feel lovable, I might not be ready to receive that. I needed for my personal life to have that renewing done. I needed to be able to receive the love of God in my life. God's interested in having a personal relationship with each and every one of you in this room. As you commit to your daily time with God, little by little, you will see your life go from glory to glory. We have a verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So no matter where you are in your walk, it goes glory to glory, because God has so much glory, we can't obtain it all. But God says, as much as you want, you can keep coming after more and more and more. Remember, one word from God that comes alive to you can change everything. Sometimes we want a whole letter, but remember the lady that we talked about? She got one word. The word was peace. And that word saved her life. Next, we need to act on what God is saying to do. How do I respond to God's voice? Well, we're going to say this together. We're going to do a repeat method. We are going to have three things that we're going to declare, because we don't only want to hear from God. We need to do what God says. We need to act on it, because it's like John talked earlier about running, and Pastor Rob talked about it too, about getting all the gear and getting all the stuff, knowing how to do it, reading every book on running, but never actually going out and running. So we have to do it, but we don't have to do it in our own strength, because see, God says that you just have to have a willing heart. You just have to surrender and ask him to help you. Unlike running, I have to make myself do it. But I pray and ask God to give me strength to do it. But you know, the same thing is in our spiritual life. God will come inside and do the inside things to motivate us to want to hear from him. He will give us the want to on the inside to clear that calendar. And I tell you, it gets contagious. Once you start getting one word from God and you're like, oh my gosh, that worked, you're going to want another word. And then you're not going to want to get out of the prayer closet. You're going to be like, okay, this is way more better than anything else. Because life with God becomes an adventure. When you have a conversational relationship with him, he goes with you everywhere you go. You are never alone. He is with you all the time. What better relationship could you choose to develop than to develop a relationship with God? So we're getting ready to declare these things. I'm going to say it because I'm not sure if everybody can read the PowerPoint or not. So I will say it, and then you guys can repeat after me. And we're on prayer. We're on declaring number one. I get to believe. As a believer, I choose to believe. And I place my trust in God. What you say about me. And I will live my life based on what you say about me. And number two, I confess. Confess means to agree with God. And to put my speech to it. Number three, after I believe and confess, I obey. We choose to do what he says to do. And surrender our will. Because we trust that he is right and good and faithful. You say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things. Philippians 4:13. Good job, everyone. And when we declare things like that, it may just seem like words that we said, but it goes deeper than that, guys. It means that you're giving permission for Jesus to come in and help you make these things possible. Because all he needs is a surrendered heart, and all he needs is a little window of, yes, Jesus, come help me make these things and help me put them into action. So putting and making a 2020 clear, focused, aligned vision for your life, we want to put that in action today. Because John and I have been praying for like over 2 weeks and asking God what to do. Our goal is that you guys will find something, at least one thing that you can put in action today. Because if we put this time in being in prayer, it's only productive is if it does something for your life. So as we're going through this, try to grab at least one thing that you can put in action this week. We're first going to hear it's not going to be up on there, so I'm just going to be reading it. But Matthew 7, 24 through 27, for those that are taking notes. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're trying to lay that foundation. So our lives in 2020 are going to be built on a rock, on a solid foundation. Continuing on to verse 26, it says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the good job. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. We don't want that for our lives. We don't want to go through all the time of building things that aren't going to stand. We need to take the time to hear from God. So to start out with, we're going to take time and we're going to ask the Lord, what areas of my life do you want me to focus on this year? Then you're going to be, when God speaks to you or highlights something to you, you're going to go and look in the Word. You're going to look up the words in that area, and then you're going to pray about those areas and talk to God about how it will apply to your life. And I'm going to give you a few examples. So, and this is for you personally. I'm giving you my examples, but this is what I want to spur you on with to find your own examples. You can use mine if you want. But, you know, don't look at like this is how you have to do it. Just let this be something to spark something in you. Health. So first you can ask God or talk to God about your health, your mental and your physical health. If that's something you want to do, then you go and search for things in the scriptures. One of the verses I found was 1 Corinthians 16:19 through 20. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that's how you go and ask God what area, and then look up verses, and then you could just pray over that and ask God to give you insight for your life. Another area is finances. You could talk to God about earning, spending, giving. There's all kinds of areas in finance that you could ask God what he wants to highlight to you. I found the verse 2 Corinthians 9:10. It says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So you can ask God, you know, where is my seed supposed to come from? Because you have to have seed to sow. And then you could ask him where you're supposed to sow it. And then you can ask him how you're supposed to harvest it. Because we always have fruit when we sow the seeds that God gives us. So those are a great area to start. We can talk to God about our relationships. That's another great place to realign our life. We can talk to him about our relationship with him. We can talk to him about our relationship with our family members, our church members, and our friends. The verse that I found was Ephesians 4:2. It says, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." So you could take that verse and you can ask the Lord, "Who am I supposed to love that I'm not loving? Or who do you want me to love, Lord, that's in my family that needs extra love?" So I hope you're kind of catching on. What I'm hoping you're going to pick up is to pick up on something that you're going to focus on. You could talk about your ministry calling. Every child of God has a calling and a purpose for life while on earth. We are called to be disciples of Jesus and disciple others. The Great Commission in Matthew 28:16-20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" And I'm going to go a little faster because I've got to wrap up. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ." Personal development, gifts and talents. You could go into that area. Recreation, because God likes us to have fun. You could even ask God about those areas. So we'll go to our last prayer point. Or not prayer point, sorry. I'm at 5 o'clock. Our last. So making a commitment tonight, a 2020 commitment to press on. Philippians says, "Pressing toward the goal, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Set a goal tonight. Decide if you want to make a commitment to press on in one of these areas. So we're just going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father. I thank you for every single person that's here, and I ask you that you do the impossible for them, Father God. Do the things that are hard for us to do. As they commit to reading their Bible, as they commit to looking up scriptures and praying to you, I ask you that you would speak volumes over their lives. And Father, I ask you, the person who's here tonight that may never have gotten plugged into you, maybe they've never become a child of God, that they tonight would make that commitment to learn more about you and to want to make that commitment to be with you, have a conversational life with you, and someday go to heaven with you. Some of you in this room may have already made that commitment, but maybe some of you have never had a conversational relationship with the Lord. So tonight I pray that if you have never had a conversational relationship, that that relationship would grow and that you would be able to hear from God. Maybe you've became a child of God and you have that conversational life, and maybe you're even the person in here who has had godly counselors confirm what you were supposed to do. For that person, Lord, I just ask you that they would take action on their life. They would do and put into action what you told them to do. In your name, amen.
All right, I hope you guys all got something out of this tonight, that, you know, you got something that would give you 2020 vision for your life for this year. So, you know, but we have to remember that in order to do that, we have to hear God, and to hear God, we have to make an appointment and keep it. Just like with my vision, you know, I had to go to the ophthalmologist. I had to make the appointment. I had to go there. I had to keep the appointment to be able to get my glasses and be able to see clearly, right? So it's the same way with God. If we don't make an appointment with him and keep it, there's no way that we're going to be able to have a good, clear vision and hear what he wants us to hear. And also, like with the ophthalmologist, we have to continue to go back for checkups. You know, continue to make frequent appointments with him so that he can continue to speak with us and focus our vision. So that's a lot better way of approaching life and approaching your year than a New Year's resolution where 92% fail, right? So hopefully we've encouraged you guys tonight, and this word will help you out. So amen. So thank you guys, and we're dismissed.